The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to A Game Fun Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have a very own Charlie Saladino.
Hello, fun seekers.
Hassan Godwin has recontracted the T-Virus, and he is now a zombie again, so he's eating somebody as we speak. So he will not be with us today, but he'll get better soon, hopefully.
He has become the evil Hassan.
So that's basically he's just Hassan.
Yes.
And we have a special co-host today.
Yes, we do.
We have Maria Peterson, Soto Peterson. She helps us out on our website. Without her, we could not have the show up. She handles the website. She does everything. And she came down for the New York Comic Con, so I had her on the show. So say hi, Maria.
Hi, guys. Glad to finally get a chance to be on, honestly.
Well, thank you for all your help. Last year, if it wasn't for Maria, a lot of us wouldn't have got the press things and stuff like that. And if it wasn't for Maria, you wouldn't see my pictures on there because she enabled me to have access to put pictures on Facebook, right? There you go.
And I am not computer friendly at all, so it would just be one white border on the website.
That's true. Did he tell you what I did the other day?
He mentioned it briefly.
I hit the wrong thing and erased our logo from the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I need you to put that back.
I already have.
See, this is why she gets the big bucks,
that's
folks.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Mark, what if they can't hear us on
if they can't hear us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on a live audio streaming.
Could people call in?
They can.
Oh.
They can, but they got to see. They want to see us on the web camera first.
Oh, they should. Website. And then they should call in.
Yeah, the number here is area code 61-888-8811. I'm going to take away with the news because we have a lot of stuff going on.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
And we're going to do with the... I guess the most important news, because Trevor is ready to beat us with a stick, because these past 4 weeks, people have been calling left and right for the free Comic-Con passes. So we have a contest for the last day. We have – actually, do you have them?
I have them,
We have two. I'm holding up imaginary
two?
Tickets. Two tickets.
Call in.
New York Comic-Con. Yes, call in right now.
Call in now.
Easiest contest.
Call in now.
Area code 61-888-8811. World's easiest contest. First person wins. And Trevor's already going.
Call me now.
With the people calling.
It's been a vicious fight as far as I've heard.
Yeah.
How come he never answers the phone that lights up?
I don't know. We'll have to ask him. But it's lighting up. As we can see, it's going crazy. And so whoever that is, they won. We'll find out what they are in a few minutes. And the convention is
Isn't
coming up.
Isn't that the phone that we're supposed to answer, that one?
He's answering it.
Yeah, I know.
Like something, you got a strobe light or something.
Yeah,
going
that's
on there.
Every time the phone rings, it flashes up. And as of right now,
like Trevor's not having a little mini rave in there or something like that?
There's four lines and it all flashing up right now. As I can see over the little shelfie thing.
I don't know.
The convention, New York Comic Con, is this weekend, starting tomorrow for us, because, we're cool. But, or people who paid an exorbitant amount of money for a four-day pass. And we actually have a little survival tip off of the New York Comic Con website.
Okay.
So we will get to that in a few minutes. I have – he's still going. See, he's still going. So I have other news while we're waiting for the contest winner.
Okay.
All right.
First, like we usually do, sad news.
Sad news. Let's start first.
Football player.
That's how you're supposed to start it.
No, we like to start with the happy news. But this is football player turned actor
Alex Karras,
best known for his role as George in a TV show Webster, died today in his home following complications from kidney failure. Of note, Alex played for the Detroit Lions for 12 years before turning to acting. One of his most memorable roles was that of Mongo and the Mel Gibson comedy Blazing Saddles. And I had no idea it was the same guy, that Mongo was the father in Webster. I had no idea until
today. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Well, he didn't have the mustache.
Mongo impressed.
Yeah, he had, he didn't have the mustache, so I didn't make the connection.
Oh, my God. Trevor's going to kill you.
Yes, Trevor is
Trevor,
going
you
to
could
me.
Come in here and beat the living crap out of him. Look at this. It looks like a lightning storm in Trevor's little cage. Trevor, get up. I'm giving you permission. You get up, and you come in here and beat the hell out of him. You don't listen to put stuff in front of that light there. Stop calling in. Leave Trevor alone, damn it. Come on. It looks like there's a storm in there.
So, man, you must have the sad news here. So later.
I'm sorry, Alex.
Later in his life, he was diagnosed with dementia and joined the more than 3,500 former NFL players suing the NFL for not protecting them better. With head injuries, immediately becoming best known in legal fight. So he was 77.
I heard that he was still alive last night, but they said it's not going to be long. He says that his kidneys shut down and everything like this. And and he was hysterical. And I heard he was a very nice man. And he was hysterical in Blazing Saddles.
He punched that horse. Never before seen someone actually punching. And the horse went down. No special effect. I don't know how he did it.
That was a whole. He did not.
Well, it was all, you know, so cameras and stuff. But the horse did, you know, it wasn't like a cut scene. He just walked up, pow, and the horse went down.
But when the sheriff unchained him from that thing, Mongo don't want to leave. Mongo likes sheriff.
Yes.
Mongo's impressed. it was just so classic.
Yeah. Classics, yeah.
All right, so Trevor is ready with the winner, right? We got the winner on? All right, put him on. Or her. Him or her. Is it a he or a she? Let's find out.
It's a he.
It's a he, finally, because for the past 3 weeks we've had she's calling in. So what's your name?
My name is Sam.
Sam. Well, congratulations, Sam. You have a last name, Sam?
Sam Haywood.
Sam Haywood. Congratulations, Sam Haywood. You have won the final last two tickets for the New York Comic Con.
Thank you very much.
As I've been mentioning to all the other female winners, are you going to dress up in costume?
I might go as a Green Lantern. I think I'd make a pretty okay John Stewart.
I hope you're a black guy.
I am.
Well, he said the black John Stewart. Come on.
Not to be confused with the Jon Stewart from The Daily Show.
He said Green Lantern.
Green Lantern,
Lantern, Jon Stewart. Yeah, for the comic guys, they know that's the black.
I'm aware.
So what are you going to do with the other patch? You got like a girlfriend, you got a wife going, a sister, a cousin?
I have my best friend, and I'm probably going to go, my best friend.
All right, see, so congratulations. Trevor, you got his address and information? You got his telephone number, right? All right, got your telephone number. So thanks again. And make sure you stop by the Red Zone Girls comic booth because my character, Sunburst, will be there. So you can take a picture of her and sign some autographs. Or have her sign your autograph. She don't want your autograph. Sorry. But congratulations and thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Trevor's coming in to slap him, I hope. No, come on, Trevor.
I'm going to give a pass
today. Okay.
All right. So moving along with more news. With only a few weeks into the new television season, there is already one show that got canceled.
Casualty.
Yes, the first Casualty with only two shows aired was the show Made in Jersey on CBS, The Lawyer, that she's from Jersey and she becomes a hotshot lawyer in New York.
I never heard of it.
That's why. Two episodes in.
Now, I don't get that. I mean, nowadays people see TV shows there's other options besides watching it on the air. I mean, you know, like people go online, you know, like stream it, or some people DVR it, or like find other, you know, like means to see these shows. I mean, like two shows. I mean, that's kind of quick.
But you're absolutely right. And you know what they don't do anymore? They don't have faith in the show. They cancel them right away because if they did that to like shows like All in the Family, because some shows are sleepers until the repeats.
They get
and then people have their normal shows they watch, And then during the summer, when there's repeats, they watch the, all of a sudden, these shows become a hit.
Yeah.
But now this is what happens now. They cancel right away. So now the show never gets a chance to be seen, you know.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you're right. Just with like, everything.
Well, I mean, yeah, two shows. I mean, that's like you didn't even give them a chance. I mean, I haven't heard of this show. But then again, this fall season's just been so... At least in my little like niche in the world, it's just been kind of non-existent.
It's
honestly,
really ridiculous.
You know, like not many shows that you know, like I've actually like heard a lot of. I mean, I'm still surprised with what actually came back. Although most of the stuff that I watch are like dramas on cable anyway, right now.
See, look at that. See, you didn't watch either. That's why the show got canceled. The two of you did not watch the show. And he didn't even heard of the show, so it got canceled. Because
right,
got...
but I would have heard of it with the repeats.
Honestly, with Jersey and the title like that,
It's Joyzy, man.
The views reflected by Maria is not necessarily the views reflected by us.
No. I've got lots of family in Jersey. I love you guys.
Of note, there are already 8 other shows that are waiting to be canceled. So I guess it depends on how this week of shows go. Before
what are they
canceled.
That I never heard of?
Last Resort. That's the one with the ooh. Last. Ooh, man, that's the one with the submarine that they shoot at the submarine.
Oh yeah, that's a ridiculous premise anyway.
That's ready to get canceled. 666 Park Avenue with Vanessa Williams and Terry O'Quinn
from
Lost.
Why would that get canceled?
Is getting ready to get canceled.
Like with
and
the entire
they're
be cast being at the Comic-Con this weekend.
The entire cast is going to be in Comic-Con this weekend.
And you're like, hi, folks. You're like, we're good. We're just here to say hi right before
that
you
was,
kick us out.
Let me tell you something. You know what really, really bit the big one?
What?
American Gothic. Yeah, that
sure.
did. But I thought that the 666 whatever Park Avenue was going to be wild. Given the chance,
episode.
I think it would be.
Well, I saw the first episode. I thought it was pretty decent. So
yes, keep that on the air. Damn it!
What else is on the list?
Let's see. Guys with Kids. That's an NBC.
Oh,
show.
I knew that was going. I knew
that's
was
kind
going.
Of adorable, though.
I knew it was going.
The
delivery of all the funny lines.
It was
the
so
timing
canned.
Wasn't. It was like so predictable.
Partners about the gay friends.
Yeah, I knew that had to go.
Animal Practice, which I've never heard of that.
Oh, that I saw. I thought that was adorable. They should keep that on the air.
Guys, so I
just
saw
for
that's
the
one.
Monkey.
That's one of those things. I saw a tidbit of it. I'm like, I thought it was a Saturday Night Live gag that the
no, just for the monkey and the doctor suit alone.
There's a monkey in a doctor suit.
Oh,
there's a monkey
God.
In the doctor suit.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Right. Folks, keep that on the air.
The Neighbors, that's the one on ABC where the alien people live. And
yeah,
neighbors.
Well, they should cancel all that.
Oh, that one I actually caught like the second episode of. And that is kind of an interesting
stupid.
Premise. Well, I mean, curious.
Well,
like, I kept getting a British sitcom vibe over it, honestly.
After I left ABC, they had no good ideas.
let's see what else. Oh, the last, Vegas with Dennis Quaid and Michael Chiklis. About how they formed Vegas came to be in the whenever it was the 40s.
Oh, the Quaker, the Mormons made Vegas what it is today.
Supposed to be like a mob drama. It was actually pretty.
Yeah, the Mormons made it. They where the Plaza. Here's a Cappy Dick fun fact, folks. Where on Fremont Street, where the hotel the Plaza is, that's where all the Mormons was selling stocks in Vegas, and that's how Vegas became the place it is today. And didn't hurt that they build the. Hoover Dam, right about a couple of miles away from there. So all the workers went to the next town over to play Vegas.
Huh. And that's where they buried all the people, right?
Yeah. Oh.
And, also,
and then Lucky
know.
Luciano, he bought the Flamingo, and the rest was history.
And along the lines of the mob theme shows, the last show of the 8 that are almost ready to be canceled, depending on how the ratings go, is The Mob Doctor on Fox. So.
Yeah, well, that's stupid. That's stupid. I saw the coming attractions to that, and I said, that's stupid. Because they slip her a note, kill him. And she's a doctor. She's operating on this guy.
Right.
Kill him.
So
the mob doctor.
Well, that way, because obviously there has to be some reason why she's working for the mob. There has to be some type of dynamic.
Yeah, well, it's all stupid.
Okay. And so those are the 8 shows. So we'll see how long these shows last.
Keep the animal doctor on. Keep 666, whatever the hell the address is on. Keep those on. I have spoken. Man. Keep those on.
Speaking of...
Mr. Segway, go ahead.
All right. Stanley Media on Tuesday, not Stanley, Stanley Media, on Tuesday filed a $5.5 billion
$5.5 billion
infringement lawsuit against Disney, claiming that they, Stanley Media, not Disney, owns the characters Stanley created for the company way back when. The dollar amount reflects the estimated revenue of box office receipts, licensing, and merchandising dating back only 3 years. Because that's how long the statute of limitations is on the copyright.
All he has to do is go to the boards of trustees. They got that on them.
just
tell them, give them their wallets. And what I basically do if I go to Disneyland, I just take out my wallet and go, here, Mickey. Yeah.
The complaint filed in federal court comes from Marvel's 1998 bankruptcy, when at the time CEO Isaac Perlmutter ended a $1 million a year lifetime contract with Stan Lee. I guess lifetime doesn't mean anything much anymore.
Stan Lee, it sounds like a Catskills act.
Well, his name is actually Stanley Lieberman, if I'm not mistaken, and then he just changed
and
it to
Stan
Lee.
And here he is, third week at the Borscht Belt. Stan Lee.
So they stopped giving him $1 million a year for his lifetime contract deal. They stopped it. And that negated the company's rights to his creations.
Yeah.
So Stanley went and formed Stanley Entertainment, which later merged with Stanley Media, which ironically, Stanley Media has no connection to Stanley the guy as of right now.
All right, my brain's going to explode. What else do you have?
So basically, the company that Stanley formed, which he's no longer a part of, is suing for the creations that Stanley made against Disney in 5.5.
I hope he gets it.
Yay, patents.
That's just a drop in the bucket for Disney.
Well, and since how they made $200 billion, right? How much they made on that Avengers movie? A gazillion dollars?
Yeah. So, I don't even know what a gazillion dollars is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And finally, on our news.
Happy news?
Yes, happy news. Under happy news.
Like, that's how you do it.
Snoopy and the gang are headed back to the big screen in 2015 through a deal of 20th Century Fox Animation. They're going to make a new, brand new 65th anniversary of the comic strip of Peanuts for Charlie Brown, and the 50th anniversary of the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Wow. That's 50? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's 50 years
ago. I am so old.
Wait, they're making a movie?
A brand new animated feature from the Charlie Brown people. So it's not like somebody's going to remake or reboot it. It's the same good old characters out in Fox Animation. Big screen.
We hope so.
Well, it's going to be directed by the grandson.
That would be like Robert Redford as Snoopy.
It's going to be directed from the grandson, Craig Schultz. So they're going to be working together to make this a reality. So it's going to be like the Muppets, you know, they're bringing them back.
The executives say...
We have been working on this project for years, and we finally felt the time was right and the technology is where it's needed to be to create this film. I am thrilled we will be partnering with Fox to create a Peanuts movie that is true to the strip. Peanuts movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is true to the strip.
I fell asleep there for a while, and then I heard that.
The legacy and honor my father.
I didn't know what that was, like Attack of the Penis?
The project will be the fifth Peanuts film. Following the 1969 Boy Named Charlie Brown, 1972 Charlie Brown, Snoopy Come Home, 1977 Race for Your Life Charlie Brown, which is my personal favorite, and then the 1980s Bon Voyage Charlie Brown and Don't Come Back. So 2015, providing that John Cusack and the Mayans are not correct and the world doesn't end in a couple of weeks.
You see, what disturbs me there is, like, what technology were they waiting for it to be a
cheap animation? Like, look at The Simpsons. It's cheap animation. That's,
But like the Simpsons did. Like, why in the world were they waiting for? I think it's more less technology and more like their bank accounts were about to hit zero and like, okay, we need to cash this in now.
know about that. I mean, 65 years of the strip is running, you know. Even after the guy died, they're still running the old strips.
And money to be had. And not the endorsements with MetLife.
Yeah, that's right. So
MetLife keeps that going.
I don't think they're strapped for cash. I just think that maybe.
Yeah, they're still around.
They found all these resurrections,
though, you're like, I still can't help but want to take with a grain of salt because you're like, you just don't know what's going to work and what's not. I mean, the Muppets was pretty decent for what it was, you know, like it pandered to all the fan girls and boys out there. Like my daughter loved watching it, you know, like surprising that she was able to sit still long enough to watch that movie. But you know, like not all of the comebacks have been that great. At least the ones that I've been able to tolerate long enough.
Anyway, the heart and soul of the Schultz's family, so we'll hope for the best with that.
Hey, I mean, you know, like when children take over, it doesn't necessarily mean a good thing. I mean, Walmart was a nice, wholesome family business until the son took over, and then they became
Corporate America.
Yeah, but if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't get all those great emails about all those people who go there.
So,
I just have one thing to say.
Yes.
This weekend, I was at the wedding to end all weddings.
Really?
That's right. John and Taryn, lots of luck. It was Herman's daughter.
They finally
got married this weekend at Chateaubriand. And what a blast. It was the greatest wedding in the world. And
thanks for the invite, Herman.
They had the greatest band, Herman's band, Heart and Soul, played. Right. But Herman Hart, the keyboard player. And every time we couldn't find him, I said, just look at the keyboards.
And there he was.
And there he was, tinkling away on the keys. And the food was great. The Taryn looked beautiful. Everybody looked beautiful. I looked beautiful. It was all a beautiful thing. The best wedding in the whole world.
In the whole world.
In the whole world. I can honestly say that.
All right.
When you look at great weddings in the dictionary, it's that picture.
All right. It's in the dictionary.
It was amazing.
It's like.
And Herman in a tux is worth the price of admission. Yes, he looks like something out of Casablanca.
So, speaking of weekends.
Mr. Digway.
Speaking of weekends. Okay, you're like,
Act like
dude,
you don't
it's
Act
my
like
first time.
We
have a caller on the line.
It's the guest here. All right, we'll get to him as soon as we take our break. We're going to have like 5 minutes. I want to quickly
The survival thing for the Comic-Con. Don't bring sharp blades and samurai swords.
Which were very nice to us to give us the passes and, you know, get us in. So that's from their own New York Comic-Con site. They say, number one, download the official mobile app. So all you people have smartphones, who is not me, download the application. You can find things. Plan, prioritize, and strategize. So know what you're doing, know where to go.
Yep, and that app will help you.
Number three, shower. It says shower.
Yeah, yes, please, for all of us who do shower and go there,
and
shower.
And wear clean clothes. So don't just shower, wear
clean clothes.
You know, like dry clean that cosplay outfit, please.
Really,
you know,
because
like,
it's close quarters.
A zoo when you go over there. You know, like too many people close quarters, even if one of you guys is funky.
Yeah.
It says bring your own bag to hold stuff that they get for free because they're going to give out tons of free stuff at the convention.
Yeah. Don't trust they're going to give you a free tote bag. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of stuff. You know, like bring something with you.
Backpack. Make sure you have a backpack, a water bottle that's refillable because you need to be hydrated. A camera. Make sure you take camera.
That's my job.
Bring snacks because the Javits food is expensive and the lines are long. Let's look at that.
Wow.
Put that on there. Bring deodorant.
Bring what?
Deodorant. So,
aside from showering, they're letting you know to bring deodorant too.
Not just for you, but for the guy standing next to you.
Yeah. I could just see this guy 10 foot tall. I'm going to go, you need this.
And it says,
and then the next week is, yeah, Charlie can't be here for the post Comic-Con show. He's in the hospital
with your deodorant
stuck up his butt.
Bring your plugs for your cell phones or whatever devices they are.
Yeah.
Make sure you bring your plugs.
Yep, they are offering charging stations and Wi-Fi stations this year. I heard about
that.
So it's like super nifty. Like last year, I wandered around for about a half hour trying to find an outlet. And when I finally got to one, it was like all crowded with the line already.
And definitely leave your tempers home. Don't make me have to go beat the living crap out of you at Comic-Con. No. Leave your tempers home. We're all in the same place. And
you paid to be here. So,
right.
You know.
And do me a favor. Don't stop in the middle of the aisle. If you have to go see some, go as close to the to the vendor as you can possibly get. Don't stop and look around.
Without jumping over them.
Right, because I'm going to mow you down.
Unless the vendor happens to be into that kind of thing.
Yeah. Even me, when I take pictures of characters, I move them over to the side.
Yes.
I ask them, could I take a picture of you? Let's move over here. Because I don't want Bruno the Fist killing me for, you know, being in his way.
And let's see. It says make sure you go to the right entrance so you won't avoid confusion. And they have a little map on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, there are free shuttles that go from Penn Station to the Javis Center, Grand Central Station, and the official New York Comic-Con hotel. So you can get there for free. So you don't have to worry about hustling and muscling. And it's going to be cold, so, you know.
Yeah.
And lastly, it says, don't make it too realistic. Prop weapons are allowed, but do not make them look too realistic or you will get beat down by the real policemen that are in there.
Yeah, that's, by the way, folks, it's against the law to have a weapon that looks
like a weapon.
Like a weapon. You have to have the end of the weapon like a fluorescent
coating
or something like that.
A little orange cap on it.
Yeah,
like,
really.
You know, like foam everything. You're like, yeah, it's not going to look authentic, but you know, like it's better than...
Because you'll get three Irish cops bringing you down like in like 5 seconds.
And so you know, thank you for the guys. Make sure you go to the website, newyorkcomiccon.com, to get this information. And we're ready for our break there, Trevor. Trevor looks beat. We'll be right back.
Trevor, when we go on a break, come in and kick his butt.
We'll be right back with King from the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Look, up on the building, it's Spider-Woman.
And this is Jessica Drew, who as a child, while visiting her father's laboratory, was bitten by a poisonous spider. Forced to try an untested spider serum, Dr. Drew not only saved his daughter's life, but unknowingly gave her incredible spider-like powers. Dedicated to fighting evil while weaving her web of justice, it's Spider-Woman.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back at King from the Radio. It's your host,
Don't
Mark
go
Torres.
Back on the air. I was asking you a question.
Salatino and Maria Soto-Peterson. Today, on the eve of the New York Comic Con. We have a special guest on the phone who's going to be at the Comic Con. He has a table and everything. He's a really cool guy. It's Jeff Burns. Say hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. So, Jeff, we met at the Philly Con, and you had a unique idea, a property out there. So what do you have?
Sure. Yeah, thanks. I have a web series, a live-action web series and a comic book. It's called Super Knocked Up, and it's about a female supervillain who gets pregnant by a superhero, and then these two enemies have to try to raise a baby together.
Now, why did you decide to use the term knocked up? Because our very own Charlie Saladino hates the word knocked up.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, I'm sure if you knew that, you wouldn't have decided to pick it, but...
Yeah.
What was the
You know what? So I thought I was trying to... I actually went back and forth a lot with that name. I wasn't sure if I was going to use it or not. I think it has a... the title is very striking. It draws people in kind of on its own. So I was obviously like, well, Super Knocked Up, what's that about? Like, I think it's a good title. I think, it definitely, when people see it, they're very curious about what it is and they want to know more. And so mainly I just thought, ideally a title, that's what it does. It gets people at least to check out what you're doing. And so that's why I chose it.
All right. So what is Super Knocked Up? Is it a person that's knocked up Super Lee, or is it super people that got knocked up?
Yeah, so I mean, it's an action comedy, and a supervillain. Her name is Jessica James. Her supervillain name is Darkstar, and her arch nemesis is Captain Amazing, and a superhero. And they have a one night stand together, and then she's pregnant, and with his baby. And then they got to figure out, hey, what are we gonna do? This is two people who on the surface can't stand each other have to try to somehow make this work, where they're gonna raise this kid.
So why decide to use superheroes as the backdrop as opposed to just making it a regular comedy?
Sure. I've always loved superhero stuff and comics since I was a kid. Spider-Man, Batman, all that, X-Men. Any kind of that genre stuff like sci-fi, fantasy, it's always been my favorite. It still is today. I don't know. My other films have actually not been this at all. They've all been pretty kind of straight comedies or dramas. And, I really thought it was a cool opportunity to do a story in this kind of genre that I love so much. And I love seeing other stories being told and reading comics since I was a kid and watching, movies and TV shows and this kind of stuff. So I think it was just really my love for this genre and this kind of super-powered stuff. And then, but putting it, putting a different spin on it, trying to do something unique that hasn't been done before. And then also, working in what I think I'm very good at, which is relationship stories, which is what this is at its core.
So when I met you, you actually had a comic. So the comic came after the web series?
Yeah, I was actually working on both of them at the same time. The series did debut first. It debuted in February of this year. And then the comic, we finished in April. So the comic came out a couple months after it. That was such a thrill for me. Like I said, being such a fan of comic books and, always kind of dreaming, how cool would it be one day if I actually got to do one? So, saying that I've written one now and I could see the physical copy and people are buying it at Silicon, that's pretty awesome. And the comic school is that it actually has a lot of stuff in it that takes place before the events of the web series. So if people watch the web series, they can find a lot more extra stuff if they read the comic book.
So, Jessica?
Yeah. I was going to ask. I know that it's the woman that's the supervillain and the man that happens to be the superhero. What was the idea behind that? I mean, why not the woman be the superhero as opposed to the being a supervillain?
Sure. I like doing things that are not like what you usually see in movies and stuff. So, typically, you would see that the protagonist would be the hero, right? And so I thought it was cool to make our protagonist, our main character, actually is the villain. She's there's a couple things I like about that. I mean, one thing is that I can make her very layered and complex, and that so she's a villain, she steals things, she commits crimes, but then. There's other sides of her too, and sides where she's very caring with the baby and kind of needs a family in her life. So I like also the arc that if you start with a villain character, there's a great arc I think I can take her on and see the change in the character, which is always obviously something you want to take the audience on, see the full journey of this character's arc. So, so I thought there's a lot of cool things that I could do with a villain as my protagonist that I might not be able to do as well with my hero. So that's why I chose it.
So which was harder to make, the comic or the web series?
That's a tough question. Probably, this might sound funny, but probably maybe the web series, even though I've been making films for like probably 10, 11 years now, and that was my first comic book. So I guess you would think the comic would have been harder because I don't have as much experience, but I don't know, making films is tough, man. No matter how long you do it, it's never easy. I love it, though. That's why I keep doing it. But there's a lot more that goes in, you know, I guess with all the people involved, the actors and the crew and everything. And, you know, the cool thing about the comic is that it's basically, most of the time, it's just me and my penciler working back and forth, you know, together, and me sending him stuff, he's sending me pages and revisions, and I love that. That was a great creative process. And it was really cool just to have that, like, really close one-on-one experience with him working back and forth and seeing him bring these the pages to life.
Now, you said you were a filmmaker first. I know Charlie here is a filmmaker as well. And we always like talking about independent guys. And you've mentioned how you do it because you like it. What advice can you give to other independent filmmakers out there?
Yeah, and I don't just like it. I love it. It's my absolute passion. And I think you have to have that passion for it. I think that, you know, because the best advice I guess I could give, and there's so much stuff, but you have to be so passionate about it and so determined that you will not stop no matter what happens, and that because it is going to be tremendously difficult, and you know, and it's tough because you know most of us on this kind of level, we're doing it with virtually no money. We can't pay most of the time our cast and crew, so we got to get everybody to volunteer their time and find people who love it just as much, and you know, and it's ridiculously hard work, and there's so many things that are going to come up that are going to make you want to pull your hair out and say, I can't do this. And I'm crazy. But you got to push through all that. You have to have that unrelenting determination that you'll find a way no matter what comes up. And I think that's what I have, and I think that's what I've seen. And like the other filmmakers that I really respect, that they have that drive. They're always going to find a way no matter what to push through. Because you can get through it. You just got to believe in yourself and the people around you.
So what other projects you said you have out there? You said you have mostly romantic comedies. What other projects you have?
I've done 4 short films before this one. And a couple of the others, a comedy, romantic comedy. I did one actually pretty serious drama. More comedies, though, which is a great thing about Super Knocked Up, that I love action movies. And I think I have a tendency to I go towards comedy in my writing, So I love having this series that there's a lot of really fun stuff in it. There's a lot of great moments for humor and comedy. But I can also work in my love for action in it too. It's been a great, I think it's really cool to expand the kind of more simple, I don't know simple, but you know, more basic comedy, much easier to shoot into this superhero genre.
So you've done short films before, and then you decided to do a web series. Is it the same process to making web episodes, or is it different than making a short film?
It is, I mean, a lot of it's similar, but there's so much more involved in a web series. Because basically, I mean, what are you going to think about? I mean, on a much smaller scale, because we're not doing like 20-something episodes like a lot of TV series. Well, but it's planned out a whole season of like a TV series, more or less. And so it's not like this one short film. You got this whole series that you need to plan the whole thing out. So there's just a tremendous amount of more planning involved in pre-production. And so it's the process behind it is similar, but it's just at a much higher, more detailed level. I absolutely love it, though. This is my first web series I've done, and I can't tell you how amazing this format is, I think. And I really would, and I think it really is going to take off and it'd be really kind of the future of how a lot of things are seen entertainment-wise. So I would really love to just be able to keep doing web series. That would be awesome.
So you find that the modern-age technology is more leaning towards the internet, the computer age, than going to, like, a theater or a television?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's where everything's headed. I mean, you see now even the, you know, the convergence of internet and TV, you know. And, I mean, like, for me, I love television, but I never watch it on – actually, like, through my cable box and my TV, because I'm never usually home then. I watch it through Hulu, you know, but my computer is hooked up to my TV, so I'm watching it online, but it's still on my TV. So, you know, I think absolutely things are going to be going more and more that way, that people are watching it on the Internet, so on some kind of monitor, which could be very large still, but they're watching it on the Internet and watching it, like, when they want to. And I absolutely think more and more that's the way things are going to go.
Okay, you said that you, as far as independent workers are concerned, you're always working with, like, next to no budget. Do you have a preference as far as, like, equipment that you use? Like, what is it that you, as far as, like, production is concerned, like, what exactly is involved on it being this independent production of yours that's going on right now?
Sure. One of the cool things, you know, now with all the awesome cameras, HD cameras that are out there that filmmakers like me with no money, the cameras are very affordable, you know, and we can actually make awesome looking stuff. So season one, we shot on the Canon 7D and 5D, which are very popular cameras for indie filmmakers. It was very exciting for season two, which we actually, I just actually finished our first day of rehearsal and we start shooting next week. We just actually learned a few days ago that we're going to be shooting on the Red Scarlett cameras, and which are very, very awesome high-end HD cameras. Mm. And so I'm super excited about that because last year the cameras were great, but these are, like, so far above those, and it's just going to give a great production quality to season two.
So you're going to be at the convention this weekend, right?
So we were. This is the biggest bummer. Yeah, you have no idea how much it's a bummer. We were, I and my two lead actors, we were all set to go. Because New York Comic Con last year was my first time there. It was, like, probably the best thing I did all year. I had such a blast. It's amazing. I love New York Comic Con. And we were all set to go. And then we realized with the shoot coming up, we have so much to do. And if we go, we're not going to be prepared. And it was a horrible decision, which I did not want to make because I love it. I mean, I love going to Comic Cons. That's my thing, you know. Everything I love is there. And meeting people. Meeting people who've watched the show is fantastic, too. So, yeah, we're going to be up here rehearsing still, which is a huge bummer. I will have one of my artists who I work with. He will have some Super Knocked Up comics there and stuff. So there will be have a little bit of a presence there at his table. He's going to have it. But fortunately, in person, we're not going to be there.
What's the booth and what's the guy's name that's going to have your stuff at?
So Peter Sefcik, I can't say his name. Peter Sefcik, S-F-C-I-K is his name. And I am not remembering the booth number off the top of my head, unfortunately. But that's his name. He back in Artist Alley, I'm sure, is where he'll be. But he's an awesome artist. He's done some really cool stuff for us.
It's actually kind of funny how this would make it a very good lesson for those filmmakers out there. Because, I mean, when we spoke, you were definitely coming. You were actually going to be in the studio to do the show. That's why we scheduled you for this show. And then at the last minute, like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it to the show, but I'm definitely coming to the con. What kind of ups and downs do you go through on a normal day-to-day basis for this time? What kind of lessons have you learned about this?
Yeah, you're right. Every day, man, on a film, you're learning stuff. And no matter how much you do it, there's always more stuff to learn, which is great because you're always trying to get better. You know, and it's funny, no matter how important I know it is, and every filmmaker will tell you this, that, you know, do spend so much time in pre-production and give yourself all this time. And, you know, and I do, and you do it, and there's still, like, it's never enough. So, I mean, yeah, just... And I mean, things happened that kind of made it that way this year. But I mean, definitely for next year, you know, next season, I'm going to start, you know, even earlier, like, you know, start even earlier, plan things out even more, even though, I'm really, I think, good at organization stuff. But, you know, I can always be better. I can start earlier and really plan it out and, you know, and really just make sure, give even more time for rehearsal, even more advance, you know, so I can go to New York Comic Con because there's no way I want to miss a few years in a row. That's going to freaking piss me off. I will say the only good thing that is that for the first time, we actually were probably, and since we're missing it, we're probably actually going to go out to San Diego Comic-Con, which I've never been. even though I think I would have probably New York is still, since New York State is my hometown, that's still the one I really love going to. I don't know. Hopefully we can get to that. They'll kind of make up for it, hopefully. I'm not missing New York this year.
I've been to both cons. I mean, I've only been to San Diego once, and it's an experience, and I wouldn't trade it for anything, but man, those were the gruelingest 5-6 days I ever spent, and I was just on the floor. I didn't even have a table, so I don't even know what those guys go through.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, I've heard it's crazy. It's insane.
How is that for you guys, since you had a table? You said you were at the New York Comic Con last year, and then you had the Philly Con. How is that for you on the other side? You know, you're behind the table. How is that? What kind of experience is that?
It's awesome. I love that. I love being there, having a table there, you know, and it's really cool because, I mean, one thing, yes, particularly now that this year where the series was out, you know, that you get people who come up who have watched the series, and you know, and some people have come up and said super nice things, and just that, you know, they really love it and dig it, and they can't wait for more. And that's super encouraging and very gratifying because of how much work we put into this. It's crazy. You know, the other side is there's a lot of people obviously who haven't heard about it. And so, you know, and tell them about it and, you know, about the story. And you know, usually when I give that kind of first pitch, you know, a lot of times they laugh and they think it's really cool and it's something they haven't heard about before, they say. So that's great, you know, getting, you know, letting them know about it, you know, kind of tell them where they can check it out and that kind of thing. So it's all, I love that because, and also, you know, I've learned to try to, particularly if I have somebody else there with me, help me at the table, to work in some fun to it too, that, which was great about New York Comic Con. Half the time I was sharing a table, so I wasn't even at the table half the time. So half the time at the con, I was just going around, going to panels, interviewing people, taking pictures of people in cosplay, the awesome costumes, you know, playing Quidditch, which is awesome. So that's cool. Like I think it's a great balance to be able to be at the table, you know, meet the fans, tell people about it, but also try to do some cool stuff, fun stuff too.
So what stuff do you have planned for the future for Super Knocked Up and your other projects?
Yeah, Super Knocked Up, I want to, I have the whole story planned out for the whole arc of the whole show. And I think it's going to take about 4 seasons. So we're, like I said, we're about to shoot season 2. I would love to do, you know, all four, complete the whole story of Jessica and Michael, Darkstar, and Captain Amazing. That would be the best thing ever, you know, and that's what we're going to do. So that's what my focus is totally on Super Knocked Up now, and making it the best we can and making every season better than the one before it. And then I have other web series ideas, too, that I would love to do after Super Knocked Up. But right now I'm totally focused on making this as best we can.
So do you find it easier to just put all your effort into one product as opposed to just spreading yourself out and trying to get as many things done as possible?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I know a lot of people have, like, a lot of different projects or a lot of different, like, scripts they might all be working on at once. And I've never, for me, that's not the way I like to work, like, where I'm most, effective. I like to really, you know, whatever project I'm doing right now or I'm most passionate about, I really like to put all my focus on that, and particularly doing the web series like this, and because it's not only just making it. I mean, so you're just writing it and all the pre-production and making it, but then it's all the promoting it too, you know, and social media, but also going to different conventions and doing that promotion. That all takes time, you know, and fundraising too. Like we just finished our Indiegogo campaign, which was successful, which is awesome. We reached our goal. So I do. I totally like to focus all my energy on one project.
All right, you said you had experience on both sides of the table. Do you have any survival tips for any of the con-goers going out this weekend?
You know what? Just have fun. You know, don't be overwhelmed. And which I think what I've heard from people who've been to both, and maybe Mark, you were kind of getting at that. San Diego, I don't know, they say is like super commercial and can be overwhelming, but they say usually in New York is not that way. It's more kind of fan geared still, which is cool. But I mean, there is so much to do in New York Comic Con. It's impossible to do everything like you would ever want to do and see all the people you would want now, you know? So I would just say, but, you know, just see as much as you want, I mean, as you can. Do as many variety of things as you can, you know, hit the floor, you know, just see the people. And all the awesome costumes. Go to a couple panels, you know. Just interact with people. I mean, you meet the most awesome people at a con. Like, I don't know if I've ever met anybody who hasn't been awesome at a con. They're just, because we all love this kind of stuff. and we're all super excited to be there, you know? So I would just say, I don't know, when I'm there, it's like there's a sense of euphoria over me, you know? I'm just like, I'm so happy to be there, and it's just great to be with fellow people like that. So that's what I would just say, you know, like just do as much as you can and just have fun and enjoy it.
So we got about 5 minutes left. So do you want to mention any websites, any other people you want to do shout outs? Now's the time to do so.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so our website is superknockedup.com, and people can go there. That would be awesome. You can watch all season one right on our homepage. And we also have a bunch of extra bonus videos, behind-the-scenes videos. You can get the comic book online, issue number one. We have a lot of social media, which we do a lot of updates and posting on Facebook, facebook.com/superknockedup. On Twitter, we're @superknockedup. And like I said, we're just about to start shooting season two. We're going to be spending 2 weeks shooting the whole season. So we're going to be posting, you know, pics and maybe some video from the shoots on Facebook and Twitter. So if people like us and follow us there, they can definitely get all the most recent stuff we post. And, yeah, so those are the main places to find us. And please do check us out. You know, if you think it sounds cool and you can give us a chance, we would love it. We think you'll really dig it once you start watching. And, yeah, and thanks. Anybody who has watched it or will check it out, thank you so much. It really means a lot to us.
And what about the comic? Are you going to have more issues of the comic coming out also?
I would love to. It's a little bit on hold right now because one thing is I love making a comic book. It's so awesome, but it gets expensive to make a comic book. So right now with the season two shoot coming up, you know, all the focus has been on that for a while. But after that's done, I would love to try to find a way to, and actually since we did meet our goal on Indiegogo, I might be able to do it. I would love to keep the comic book going because it was such a great experience doing it.
Yeah, I read the book and I thought it was kind of cool, so that's why.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I really did enjoy it. So that's about, we're almost out of time. There's one last question I want to ask you. You just said how expensive it is to make a comic book. How expensive it is to make a production with cast member and all these other things. I mean, I would think it would be more expensive to do a web series or any type of film production as opposed to making a comic book.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It is. It is kind of amazing, though, how cheaply it is possible to do a web series. Mainly the reason, again, is I have amazing people on my cast and crew who believe in the project and they're volunteering their time. And if that did not happen, there's no way I'd be able to do it. That's really the reason we're able to do it, and for a very low amount of money. But, you know, it still does add up, sure. You get food and equipment and all that stuff, you know. And, I mean, actually, you are right. That overall, it is more to do a web series than a comic book. But I guess part of it is, particularly with last year, where this year we did some fundraising, which is great, because we have money to actually for the budget. Last year, it was all out of my own pocket, and it just got very tough. I did the web series, and I was also trying to do a comic book, and at the end of it, I was like, holy shit, I'm fucking I'm broke. That kind of made it tough, just doing both at the same time, and just running out of money, really, so which is not as much of a problem this year with the fundraising we did.
All right, Jeff. thank you for calling. We appreciate you being a guest on our show. When you're ready for season two, you make sure you come down. And hopefully you'll be able to actually come into the studio for the next time, when next Comic-Con comes around.
That'll be great.
So make sure you stop by the Artist Alley booth to check out the stuff, right? And like I said, we will be at the Comic-Con this weekend. A little self-promotion. I want to make sure you guys go to the RZG Comics booth. To check out my character Sunburst and take pictures with her and, you know, send it to me. It'd be kind of awesome to see you guys with that. And that's about it. So thanks a lot, Jeff. We really appreciate you being a guest on the show. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
So that about does it for this week on the Canfin Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGV Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. If you missed any part of the show, you can go online to our website, www.acanfinradio.com, and the show will be up any week or so, right, Maria?
I do my best.
And we will see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.